Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
When you are sitting here thinking, oh God, I've got to be holy and have I done enough for you to move in my life now, you aren't considering God and His promises. You're considering your goodness. Your focus is on yourself. And I guarantee you, you are going to always fail if your faith is in yourself and in what you're doing.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm nearing the end of my second week teaching through the book of Romans. And I tell you, this is powerful. This is the stuff that just changed my life. I was born again when I was 8 years old. And I mean, it was a genuine conversion. But I went to church. And I am not against church, but I'm saying that there is a lot of religion in church. And there's a lot of misconception. And primarily, the number one thing that I think that religion does to hinder us in our relationship with God is teach us that God loves us and moves in our life proportional to our performance. And when I say that, I would imagine that the majority of people watching this program think, well, that's true. It's not true. It's not what the Word of God teaches. I'm not saying that our performance doesn't count. Our performance is very important when it comes to relating to other people and living in society, and it is important when it comes to the devil. If you go out and yield yourself to the devil, he is going to take advantage of you. But God does not relate to us based on our performance because nobody, not you, not me, not any person that has ever breathed on this planet other than Jesus, deserved God's favor. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, religion is primarily teaching that you've got to live right in order to get God to move in your life. And if you don't feel the pleasure of God, it's because God's displeased with you. You've not done this or done that. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 5, it says, Enoch was translated that he should not see death because before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Not just that God was pleased with him based on the fact that God was a good God, but he pleased God. And it says in the next verse, without faith, it's impossible to please God because he that comes to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch had a relationship with God by faith. It was faith that pleased God. Faith is what pleases God, not your performance. Faith in what? Not faith in yourself, not faith in your performance, but faith in a Savior. And that's what pleases God. And so this is what the whole book of Romans is all about. And we were in Romans chapter 4 talking about Abraham and David. They were two of the greatest Jews in the Old Testament, and yet both of them were fatally flawed. They did not get God's favor in their life because they deserved it, but rather because they humbled themselves and received it as a gift. Did you know people who are promoting themselves and talking about, I'm living holy and God owes me this? It's actually pride. For you to receive grace, you've got to humble yourself. And let me just read this to you out of James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, the same thing is also repeated in 1 Peter chapter 5. They're both nearly identical scriptures. But James chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Grace, you have to have humility to receive grace, because grace means that you aren't getting what you deserve. You're getting what Jesus deserves. It's a gift. And this is the reason that religious people fight against grace so much, because when you come along and you tell the person who just got saved and he's been a drug addict and been doing all these terrible things, and then they come and sit right next to the person who's been a saint for 50 years, and the drug addict gets healed, and here's the saint with sickness and they don't get healed, and they take offense saying, why did God heal them? It's because that drug addict, that person who didn't have any righteousness to their credit, they approach God on the basis of Jesus. Just do it because you've provided it for me. But the religious person tends to say, God, You move in my life because I've been going to church. I've made pies for people. I've knitted for people. I've done this and this and this. The religious saint tends to trust their own righteousness instead of trusting Jesus. The person who just gets born again and has no righteousness to their credit, they just look to Jesus and they receive it as a gift. That's the only way that we can receive from God. I tell you, this is powerful, what I'm saying. And so this is what it's saying here in Romans chapter 4 and in verse 13. It says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seeds through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." That's just saying that the promises made to Abraham didn't come through his performance because he did everything right, but because he believed God. In verse 14, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect." This is just saying that if you could work to earn God's favor and righteousness, then there's no point in faith. God made His kingdom operate by faith in what He did for us, because if it was you had to live up to a certain standard, that would just exempt so many people, because so many people have already messed up, have blown it so much, they'd say, "There's no use in even trying. I might as well quit. I might as well just give up." But when God said, "No, it doesn't matter how bad you've been, how good you've been, I'm going to make the only thing that it takes for me to love you and to move in your life is you humbling yourself and receiving this gift of grace." And by making it that, well, that means everybody, good and bad, every single person can have relationship with God. But if you put relationship with God based on your goodness and your performance, that's going to exclude a lot of people. And God so loved the world, not only the good people, but the bad people. God so loved all of us that He just set it up that whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ would be saved. Man, that's awesome. And that's what these verses are saying. In verse 15, it says, "Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression." Man, there is so much in that verse. And again, if I was to minister on this, I could spend an hour on this one point. I'm going to have to just say it and move on. But the law, the Old Testament law, and some people today would say, "Well, I'm not under law," because they don't offer an animal sacrifice. They don't keep the Jewish feast days. They don't observe the dress code and things like that. And they think, "I'm not under the law." Well, it's the same thing. We have now our religious law, where it's no longer a feast day and being circumcised and things like this, but no, you've got to be baptized a certain way. You've got to go to church. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to live holy. You can't do this and this and this. It's the same principle. It just has a different set of rules. American religious system is you got to go to church. You got to read your Bible. You got to live holy. You've got to do this. You can't do that. It's the same principle as the Old Testament law. And this is saying that, no, that law works wrath. When you are under this mindset that you've got to do things to please and appease an angry God, then you're under law. The New Covenant, we aren't under law. God has been appeased. He was satisfied with the death of His Son. God isn't angry. He's not even in a bad mood. God's not ticked off just waiting on you and me to get out of line. He has satisfied His wrath. He put all of His wrath, all of His judgment upon Jesus. I talked about that last week from John chapter 12, verse 32. And His wrath has been satisfied. He is not out to get you. Does that mean that automatically you're okay? No, because we've got an enemy. We've got people. We still need to do what's right. But when you mess up, God is not angry at you. He's not even in a bad mood. He is not waiting to get you. But the law will never tell you that. The law will only show you your sin, point out what's wrong with you. And then in the next verse, in verse 16, it says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the faith of Abraham, which is the father of us all." And then there's this parenthetical phrase about God. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Again, there's so much that I would love to put into this, but this is just saying that the promise is by faith so that everybody, good and bad, those who've lived a good life, those who've lived a terrible life, regardless of who you are, you can have a relationship with God based on what Jesus did for you. And if you will put faith in Him, humble yourself, and receive the grace of God, you can have a relationship with God regardless of what your performance has been. I tell you, if you don't understand this, this is what drives people to depression. You know, matter of fact, let me share with you another one of these grace encounters. There's a woman named Caroline Yeager, and I shared last week the testimony of Virginia Croy. Virginia Croy and Caroline Yeager were out of the same church. They knew each other, but had been separated for about 7 years, and they finally reconnected because they had started listening to my teaching. And I remember when these ladies came to my meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Caroline had actually been driven to the point of trying to commit suicide. Religion was killing her. She was living under so much condemnation. And when she heard this good news gospel, it transformed her life. And I tell you, these two women are just trophies of God's grace. So watch this testimony. I think it'll illustrate what we're talking about. Sometimes you need to not only hear it in words, but you need to see it through the life of a person. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So watch this testimony of Caroline Yeager.
I was born and raised in a former church. My father was born there. My mother came in when she was 13, and she raised her 10 children. It was very cultish. We were very, very sheltered, and we kept to ourselves because we felt if I got around a little girl that had her hair cut or went to the movies, that I would want to do that. And then in turn, I would lose my salvation. I would go to hell. We were raised very legalistic, very, a lot of rules and regulations. Of course, we weren't allowed to wear pants or cut our hair or go to the beach. I had a foundation of God, but I didn't understand Jesus. The Holy Spirit was basically only someone there to give you a conscience, you know, and prick you when you were doing something wrong. You had to marry within the church, or you were supposed to. When my husband asked me out, I accepted. He is the son of the head pastor, and he taught Sunday school. He was a teacher for our private school. He played the organ at church, so he was very involved in the church. But I wouldn't say it was an ideal marriage. I wouldn't say it was someone that I fell in love with. He was very, very abusive with words. Every time I would speak, he would down me, or if my child acted up, it was my fault. I would constantly plead with God to change my husband. And I actually put a little notepad, a post-it on the scripture where God says that He would give you your very desires of your heart. And I would put, I want a husband that loves me, loves my children, first loves God, and treats us as a family. And for years, I prayed for that. We waited 4 years before I had any children. I had a set of twin boys, identical boys, and because we didn't go to the hospital, they were born 3 months too early. And I remember one time the thought went through my head of, should I call 911? And I said no, because we were taught that cursed is a man to put their trust in man and make his flesh to their arm. So they're in heaven right now. God has comforted my heart through that, but I have 7 other beautiful children. And I remember thinking, if I have the wrong attitude, if I get angry at my husband, that my children are gonna die, or I'm gonna lose my life in childbirth. My sister, which I felt was doing everything right, she died in childbirth. And also my sister-in-law. And I would say, God, why would you give her 12 children and then take her? I didn't understand. I was like, Lord, this isn't right. it really baffled me. And we would tell the children, God needed her in heaven. Now, what child is going to believe that God would give them to this mother and then God take the mother away because he needs her more in heaven than on earth? The torment and the anguish and the fear of having seven children and not knowing whether one of them were going to get sick because of something you did wrong. It hung over your head all times. One night, I'll never forget, I was crying and I don't know who gave it to me, but I had this rope. And we have a lot of trees around our house. And I remember saying, Lord, I can't take this anymore. And I sat on the stump, I had the rope with me, and I was just bawling. And I said, Lord, I can't deal with this anymore. I cannot go on, because I felt I was ruining my whole family. Because one day I'd be happy, one day I'd be sad, one day I was crying, one day I was laughing. I look up in those trees and I said, Lord, but I want to see you. And if I do this, I won't ever see you. And I said, I have to see you. The next day, I found out one of our people from our church that had left, he hung himself that night. My brother and my mother had left the church, and my brother lived in the Harrisburg area, and he had some bunk beds that he was going to give us, so we went up there, which we weren't supposed to be doing. We went up and slept overnight at their house, and before I left, he gave me a whole bag of Andrew's tapes. Then he told me, you can get that on the internet. So I was a little leery about using the internet, because I was telling my husband it was like sinful, and yet I was going to try it, you know, and try to find Andrew on there. And I was so excited. So when my husband left for work, I would start listening to him. And I would stay in my room until 12 o'clock. I didn't care about my work. I just had to be filled because I was so hungry. So through Andrew's ministry and the fact that you could get it any time of the day or night, and it was free because there again, my husband didn't give me any money. God opened my eyes in the fact that I could seek as a woman. I could seek and I could find. And it's something changed in me. And see, you have to understand, my husband went to school with me for 12 years. So he knew what type of person I was. He knew how I struggled in different areas, you know, of reading and writing and all that. So he was baffled because he would come home from work and I would say this and that. I was so excited about what God revealed to me. And he couldn't understand how I could understand the Bible.
You know, before we go anywhere else, the first step in knowing God is that you have to know Him as your Savior.
I was listening to the tape one day, and they had this prayer, the sinner's prayer at the end, and we never heard that. We never, ever heard that you prayed and asked Jesus into your life, and then you were saved. So I was hesitant to say it, but I did say it, and I knew in my heart that I was saved. And I was so excited. And I said to him, I said, I've got it. He's like, what did you get? He said, I said, I'm saved. He's like, Caroline? Because we were always told you can never be saved for good. You always had to confess your sins every night and you know, make yourself right every night because there was no assurance that you were going to be saved. So he's like, I said, I know. I can't give it to you. I said, but you can have it. I said, but I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. He saw the confidence in me. He saw the joy in me. And he started searching. He started getting his Bible out. And I said, I can't give it to you. I can't even explain it to you. But that's all I know, that the joy inside me, it's not going to go away. And there was a peace and everything. And so from there, he came to know Christ too. And I'll never forget the one night he came down. He said, Caroline, he said, I just said the prayer. He said, I just accepted Jesus as my Lord. I have a friend, Virginia Croy, and we were friends from little. And I remember thinking, she lives a mile from me, and I haven't talked to her in 7 years. So I called her one Wednesday night, and we talked for 3 hours. And I asked her, I said, Virginia, I said, did you ever hear of Andrew Womack? She's like, you're not going to believe this. She says, but I'm going down to his conference in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend. And I said, that would be so awesome. Well, Thursday morning, I get a call from Virginia. And she's like, Caroline, she said, would you be able to go if all your expenses were paid? So I called my husband, said I could, and God worked out. Even with my little girl, I didn't have, she wasn't in school yet, so I didn't have any place to send her. And someone stepped up and offered to take her. So I'll never forget, Saturday morning, I had to drive up to Harrisburg. I got so sick. Very sick with the flu. The head was pounding. I had aches all over. So I arrived, and Virginia and Esther, we went to the hotel room, and I went up to the room, I laid down, and I said, there's no way I can go. But then I got angry, because I was like, wait a minute, the devil wants me to stay home. There must be something important there that I need to hear. I went with Virginia and Esther to Charlotte, North Carolina, you know, Pastor Dean's church, and I slept through most of the service because I was so sick. I would keep dozing on and off, and my nose was dripping. I had such a bad cold that I just had to have a tissue constantly in my hand. But when Andrew asked if we were born again and did we want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I said I didn't want to miss out on anything else that God had to offer. So I went up. Well, Andrew went through everything with us. He prayed with us. And after the prayer, he said, speak in tongues, and I spoke in tongues. And I turned to Virginia after the prayer was done and everything was done, and I said, Virginia, I am healed. My nose stopped dripping, my head stopped pounding, and all the aches left. Andrew heard our testimony, he heard our story, and he opened up the table for us to take whatever we needed to help us along our journey. All these things that I feared so much in life, like putting on a pair of pants and cutting my hair, all these things, there was nothing to fear in them. And I think of my husband, you know, someone that was raised very proud, because that's all he saw, and to treat women as beneath him. And for him, for God to touch his heart and allow him to love me for who I am. And he's so gentle now, he's so loving. I just praise God for that, because that, to me, that's the biggest miracle, that God can change a heart. I always look back at that little post-it now, and I am amazed, because he's such a loving husband. You know, he spends time with the kids, and he's, most of all, is he's searching for God, and he's always listening to Andrew, and my children are growing so, they're seeking God. And they've been on mission trips. Every day I just look for somebody that I can talk to and tell them about Jesus, because he has done such a miracle in my life. God just took me on such a wonderful journey of maturing in him. He took me from this desperate, fear-ridden, jealousy-ridden woman, and he's made me into a woman that can give him glory and honor every day.
I tell you, I'm excited. God is going to do something special during these meetings.
I felt that he was just speaking truth.
The perspective is so different, it's so new, and the understanding runs so deep.
When you start speaking to your problem and commanding it to leave, that's when you start seeing great things happen.
Andrew's teaching and the love that he has for God's word and truth, it is the gospel truth.
Andrew is pleased to announce the release of his brand new hardback book titled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. This brand new book includes all of Andrew's personal study notes and commentary on the book of Romans, compiled from Andrew's Life for Today Study Bible and Living Commentary. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, is also available in a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today, you heard Andrew's personal revelation on the book of Romans. You can study through the entire Bible with Andrew when you get his continually updated Living Commentary. This extraordinary resource contains his personal study notes, footnotes, and commentary on over 25,000 Bible verses. Andrew has priced this valuable study tool at only $120. Go to awmi.net to download yours today. Also today, Andrew's offering the Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs as his free gift to you when you write or call. This special offer is a $50 value, absolutely free when you contact us today. Or you can get each of these valuable resources as part of the Romans package. This package includes Andrew's Living Commentary, as well as the Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, hardback book, your choice of either the CD or DVD album, and Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs. This incredible package has a catalog value of $275, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for just $197. You can become a Grace Partner or order resources through our website at awmi.net. You can also order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, and Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time.
You know, the Lord has given me a huge vision, and we've been blessed up to this point, but I've still got so much that God's leading me to do. I'm believing God for 10,000 new partners. We've already got over $120 million worth of buildings in just the last 9 years. But I've got at least $100 million worth, maybe $200 million worth of buildings still in my heart for our students, for an activity center. We've got a new student housing that we've got a preliminary drawing of that is showing you a little idea of what it would look like. This one would house about 120 people. Our others are going to be smaller with maybe somewhere around 40 people per dorm, but we need this student housing. And we need people to become partners. I'm believing for 10,000 new partners. I would ask you to pray about it. And if the Lord says so, join with us and help us change people's lives through Charis Bible College.
Healing is always the will of God for everyone. Always.
Man, this has been powerful today. We've already seen hundreds and maybe 1,000 healed.
They are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. That's kingdom culture.
I'm not hopeless, helpless, and powerless. I mean, I can take back what the enemy has stolen. I can take back my position.
I heard the Lord tell me that he was so excited about healing you that he just couldn't wait.